Acts chapter 15, we'll just begin with the first two verses to introduce our topic for this afternoon. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the fact that in this life we have struggles, we have been called to fight the good fight of faith. We know that there's going to be conflict because we live in a sinful world. And so, as we look at the life of Barnabas, especially in this particular account that we have here, let us, Lord, be encouraged to continue in our fight, that we may, Lord, be those who are counted to be contending for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. We ask now, Father, that you would direct our hearts, prepare our hearts, and give us, Lord, the divine unction that we need as we go from here to take these truths into our hearts and into this world that needs it so desperately. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the son of consolation, Barnabas, does not mean that he was a weak-kneed kind of guy. He did believe in contending to the end. And we see that that's what he did. He contended to the end. He was a son of consolation, yes. He was a man of generosity, yes. He was his brother's keeper. He was a good and faithful servant. He was a man of humility and integrity. And now we see he is one who will contend to the end. So though we may be a Barnabas as far as all these other qualities that we see in him, it does not mean that we will compromise when it comes to the doctrines of the Word of God. We see that Barnabas was one that stood his ground when it came to these very issues. We have to be willing to contend to the end. And Barnabas, though he was one of the elder of the prophets in this particular juncture that we have recorded in Acts 15, he did not throw the towel in, he didn't give up, but he kept at it to the very end. People like Brother Pyle and Brother Hobbs and other older saints of our number are an inspiration to us as the grace of God shines through their lives. And Barnabas gives us an example that inspires us to press on when we get older. And those of us younger, notice I said us, look at that as well, you know, he's older and he's doing what he's doing, certainly I can do that too by God's grace. And so it works both ways. When someone who is older in the faith and someone who's up there in the same area of age, they see them doing something for the Lord and being faithful and so on, it encourages them also. And then of those of us who are younger, it encourages us to do likewise. So as we look at, we're going to look at three things in Barnabas's life here. We're going to look, first of all, at his contending for the faith. Barnabas and Paul were both singled out here as those who had no small, this wasn't a small little petty battle that you can get involved with or not be involved with. It was a no small dissension and disputation. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others would go to Jerusalem about this. This was a serious issue. We cannot tolerate salvation by works, period. And that is what we got here. False doctrine, especially regarding salvation, cannot get a toehold in a church. Because that toehold becomes a foothold, and that foothold becomes a stronghold. And when it becomes a stronghold, we have a big problem. Amen. We have people coming into the church that are not really saved. That by using Arminian tactics. And pretty soon, all you have is wolves in sheep's clothing. And when you got that, you don't have a church anymore. You can't. There's no such thing as a true scriptural church that has people that are not saved in it. That's the very first requirement, is that a person is saved before they can be a member. And then, of course, baptism and all these other things come into play. But the very first is the person has to be converted. So this is a place where we must plant the flag. And Barnabas understood that. We must plant our flag here. We cannot compromise on this issue when it comes to salvation. And so we see that they went through the process. The church decided this is what we're going to do. Again, church authority. And we find that again in verse 3 of chapter 15, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now notice this is something too. Just because you fight the good fight of faith doesn't mean you have to have a frown on your face. You can joyfully fight that fight, and you can contend for the faith, and be a blessing to others. They cause great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the older apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. I like that. What God had done. Not I did this and I did that and so on. What God did. And then verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. They were being gracious when they were doing this. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God would knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, given them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about, remember, Cornelius and his household, they were saved and converted. So, Peter, and they had received that. Peter was going back to that very fact as they were dealing with this. And now, verse 10, he says, but now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? What is that telling us? That salvation has never been by works. Salvation has always been by grace. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. There's no difference. And so now verse 12, then all the multitudes kept silence. Now notice Barnabas is mentioned first this time. Barnabas, if you remember, he was a member of the church at Jerusalem before. And then they called him to do mission work up in Antioch. And so he was a member there after the church was established. He was very well known there. And Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now, what I want us to do is turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 is going to give us some additional insight as to what was going on at this particular time. We're going to go back and forth in Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2. But notice there in Galatians 2 verse 7, But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, only that they that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Now, so this is dealing with this through time. We have additional bit of information in the last verse, though. Remember the poor. Now, what do we mean by this? And this is why searching the scriptures is so important. It's interesting we ought to be concerned for the poor. And my conscience was smitten. Am I remembering the poor? Am I remembering the poor at all? Now, what do we mean? Does that mean that we become a social organization that goes out and feed the hungry? That's not what it's talking about. I believe that as we look at this, that it's talking about in the churches, amongst the people of God. That's what it's primarily talking about. We ought to care for our own. And we see that in the New Testament. Remember the church of Jerusalem? They took an offering down there. It was to the saints of God, to the churches of God. We need to have our ears open to the poor amongst our churches, amongst our people. And we know some of them, like over, especially in, I don't think in our country you can hardly find many poor people. I mean, we have much more than food and raiment in this country. We've got much more than that. I don't know if you could actually call, I don't know if there's any person in the United States that's really poor as far as not having food and raiment wherewith we're supposed to be content with. But I think about other countries like maybe New Guinea or over there in Guyana or over there in Romania where they may not have that. We need to consider that. We need to think about that. These people are considered as outcasts. And, of course, we see that Barnabas and Paul had a heart. And we saw that before, didn't we? He had a generous heart from the very beginning. He was willing to give to those who were in need. But now let's go back to Acts again. In verse 15, and let's look at what else was said about this. As Paul and Barnabas were there, in verse 13, after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God, that is Peter, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles and take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets. As it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof. I will set it up that the residence of the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So now he begins to declare his recommendation. And James is probably the pastor there. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every day. So now, notice, what the pastor says doesn't go, right? Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas named Barsabas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. And the manner was, of course, what James was talking about. They agreed to it, in other words. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as ye heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something right there. Just a great testimony to their lives. Somebody who hazards their life for the cause of Christ, we can pretty much rest assured that they're not just playing games. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So they did not bend on the doctrine of salvation by grace alone. They did not bend. We ought to be concerned about be all things to all people, that we might win others to Christ. But not to the point that we compromise the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. That is the key. And so often we see more and more people dropping the ball. Verse 30 says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. When they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And so we see that they rejoiced. They were in favor with this. It wasn't something they had to do. It was a recommendation. Understand, too, though, that this was a unique time because we had apostles. We don't have apostles now. Apostles had special authority that people today don't have. We don't have apostles today. We don't have that apostolic authority like they had back then. But still and yet, we see already that the pattern is set that the church is the one that makes the decision. It is not on individuals, no matter what office they take. So notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with the many others also. So this contention, you know what happens sometimes when there's contention? There is a lot of mess that happens. There is necessary divisions. There's necessary division, and there's unnecessary division. Necessary division is when one person is going to hold false doctrine, is not going to repent, then they should leave. And if they cause trouble, they need to be disciplined. Okay, if they don't repent. Unnecessary division is when people's personalities get in the way. That's unnecessary division. Now this right here is about 50 A.D., and I want to just kind of keep that time in the back of your mind as we look at this. Because now we see that they're contending for the faith. Barnabas was involved with contending for the faith. But now we see, it seems, and this is where we see Barnabas being the man of light passions like we are. He's contending for the Jews. He was contending for the faith. You know, isn't it a tendency that we kind of want to be in favor of those who are most like us? I mean, that's natural. You know, I'm talking about the Germans sometimes because I'm German, so they got to be good, right? That's just the way we think. Well, this is the first fault that we see in Barnabas. And I want to look, first of all, well, really, the only place that we have mention of it is in Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, right about this same time, that's the other thing that's amazing. They just now dealt with the whole issue of salvation by grace alone. And then we come to this. But when Peter, now remember, Peter and them came up to Antioch. Okay? So it was right about that time. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. This is Paul speaking. Because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. He was over there eating with the Gentiles, you know, and then Jews came, oh, I better get over here with my people, you know. He was showing a degree of favoritism, a form of prejudice. And the other Jews dissembled likewise, okay? They were acting the same way he was acting with him. Now notice what it says here. This is Paul writing, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away. He didn't say, and then, of course, Barnabas was carried away. It's almost like he's saying, and then even Barnabas was carried away. As impossible as that might sound, was basically the way this is brought forward. You know, though Paul and Barnabas had, you know, they worked together and they grieved together and they didn't agree with everything, I'm sure. This was after the fact that it happened and some other things had happened. And so it's just a blessing to see it written the way that it is. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew liveth after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now apparently Barnabas had a weak moment. We all have weak moments. Anytime we sin, that's a weak moment. And Barnabas had one of those weak moments. Again, we tend to favor those who are most like us. We're all one family of Christ if we're saved. We're all part of the same family of God. We're saved by grace no matter whether we're a Jew or whether we're a Gentile. It doesn't matter what race or nationality or gender or people group that we're a part of. It's all of grace. But then thirdly, he was contending for the Jews and then contending for the family. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, if you remember, that is Barnabas's nephew. It's the same one that wrote the gospel according to Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia. Do you remember that? And went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. This is about late 50 AD. Now, a lot of people say, oh, who was right and who was wrong? What was exactly going on here? Well, I wanted to first of all notice that it speaks of Paul and Silas as being the ones that were recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. I find it interesting also that it's Paul's missionary journeys that are recorded in the Bible, not Barnabas and John Mark. But that is not to say that, and let's look at this and comparing scripture to scripture. In Acts chapter 13, verse 13, let's look back at that same situation. Was Barnabas right? Was he just favoring his family? And in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, that is that city on the western edge of Cyprus, as you go further into the Mediterranean, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. Now let's notice here. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they went to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, remember, Cyprus was a heavily Jewish population. This is where Barnabas was. And maybe John Mark had some family there. I don't know. But notice in Perga, there's no mention of a synagogue. There's no mention of any Jews there. There's no mention of them preaching there. It may have been that it was more decidedly pagan than any other place they'd been. Maybe it made John Mark feel uneasy. I find it also interesting that the Apostle Paul, according to what we have recorded in the book of Acts and the other epistles, he never went back to Cyprus again. You ever notice that? He never went back to Cyprus. Could it be that the church had authorized Barnabas and John Mark to go there? And that was their mission field. Because John Mark did not leave that work. He left the work over beyond on the other side of the Mediterranean. So it could be that was their mission. And Paul never going back there again leads me to think that that's the arrangement that the church had made. And we find also that Barnabas and what he did, we see that, first of all, not around 50 AD, actually, not too far from this date, was when the book of Mark was written, that John Mark penned. If this was wrong, I find it hard to believe that that would have taken place. It was altogether wrong. Maybe it was that John Mark needed to just be in a limited field in this particular area. That's where God had called him, not to go to all the other places that Paul went to. Notice what it says. First of all, we see that in 57 A.D., and 1 Corinthians 9:6, or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working. This was written after this. And so we see that there are no hard feelings, they're not harboring ill feelings toward one another in this particular epistle. We find that in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, which is allegedly written in 61 AD, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments. If he come, unto you receive him. So, once more, there was good relations there. And then, it is said that in 2 Timothy 4:11, was written at 67 AD, only Luke is with me, take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, I know we don't have all the facts. Maybe there was something wrong and it just healed over time. We don't know exactly. But we need to make sure that we understand that just because we get older and wiser doesn't mean it's always going to be easier. Barnabas was still contending. He still had some struggles. We're still not going to wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places. May God help us to never give up but to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. To be a son or daughter of consolation, to be somebody who's their brother or sister's keeper, to be somebody who is a man or woman of integrity, to be one who is a good and faithful servant, to be someone of humility and generosity as we seek to serve our God. Well, we'll close now, begin our business meeting.